Welcome back, family. This is your boy, ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, listen, that just simply means Ed. We're here today. I want to talk to you about how do you monitor and control a project? How do you monitor and control a project? I got three tips real quick, and then we can move on about our day. So first tip is the importance of monitoring and controlling. You got to look at it from the processes. So there's five processes. You have initiate, plan, execute, monitor and controlling, and closing. Monitor and controlling, in my humble opinion, is the process of where you're measuring, you're checking, you're double checking, you're triple checking, you're having these conversations. Basically what you're doing, and here comes point number one, I'm serving it up, reviewing the status. And that status could be meaning a whole lot of different things, meaning the status of your budget, the status of how your team is performing. Because I'm going to tell you, family, when you become a project manager, if you're not already one, you have to have a filter of trust. What is a filter of trust? I probably should have listed that. This is a bonus one. I wasn't even going to talk about it, but it just hit me when I was thinking of it. Is a filter of trust is that you're going to have a team of people, and they're going to come to you directly, and they're going to share things secretively with you that are ethical, but that they may be going through. Like, they may be frustrated with another team member. Why is this person not doing what they're supposed to do? It seems like I'm always, and you have to have the discernment, the courage to be able, and really, let me say this too. As a project manager, you have to have that active listening skill set. I mean, that is something, and for somebody like me that's a talker, I had to work on this for years because I would be so busy talking that I wasn't even listening to what someone was saying. And so as a project manager, you want to have that active listening system in place because your team is going to come to you, like I said, directly and talk to you about other team members, and you have to be able to conceal that to a point where you don't allow it to affect your judgment of the way you see a team member that's on your team. But if the team member is right, you probably will have to take some action and hold that person accountable, or start in a way of creating a system to hold them accountable. Anyway, point number two is evaluating potential obstacles. Now listen, I've seen a lot of people fire up projects and start projects, and they don't even take the time to do a proper risk register. Or, I mean, you ain't even got to do a risk register, meaning like you don't have to call it a risk register, but they don't even take the time just to outline. Now, I've seen it where they'll do it on the project charter. They'll list a couple of risks, but they won't take the time to expand upon that once they get all of the stakeholders together. They just go. Now, that's cool if you're running a scrum type project where you can do that because you can get quick feedback. But I don't agree with that when you're doing a waterfall approach where you're building on top of each thing as you grow, or I should say as you go. So when I've seen where I've run into projects where they don't even take the time to look at potential obstacles, right away, once I'm in the driver's seat, that's the first thing we're looking at. Matter of fact, I start my calls off with talking about, hey team, are there any potential risks that you've seen? And let's look at our risk register to see what are there any risks that may actually happen or are occurring or about to happen. Because a lot of times people forget about risks because they forget about them because they're like, well, nothing is happening, but you don't know what is actually going on. So you may assume nothing is happening, but let's say when somebody on the team makes a decision to say, oh, well, with this particular widget, I'm going to add this particular piece, and you don't catch it, and it goes out to the customer. So I'm using that as a small example to say to the simple point of it's very important that we're constantly looking at risk, because as you know, a risk can eventually turn into an issue if we're not careful. And all risks are not bad. I'll say that again. I said it in this video. I said it in other videos. All risks are not bad, but there's nothing wrong about being prepared for what potentially may come your way. And that's why I think it's important to have that discussion when you start your calls and you're having your team meetings and going over the schedule, you're going over the budget, the first topic you want to talk about is risk and issues. I promise you it would pay off every time, because somebody may notice something. And also what I'll do too, because especially if you're on a team where they may not bring it up, but they want to, but they don't know if it's, you know, it's wrong for them to say it. I call people's name out. Hey, Michael, what did you do? You think there is there any risk or issues that you want to put? And again, are there any risks that you want to talk about here, or any potential risks that you may see? Okay, there's none. Okay, hey, John, any particular risk that you may see, or that you may come up? So I'm going around the table. I'm not giving them a chance to sit back and be silent and not say anything. And that's a technique I'll show you, family, when I start discussing meeting techniques, because I've been in meetings where people just sit there and say, anybody have any questions? Anybody got any comments? No, nobody has any questions or comments, because you're not putting them in a position to ask questions or comments. You're not putting them in a position to feel comfortable to ask any questions or comments. I'll tell you how you make them uncomfortable. You start calling on people's names, and then you'll be surprised of the information that you get back. But I'll digress on that. That, like I said, that video is coming. The last and third final point is keeping to the schedule and staying within budget. The reason why you want to monitor and control a project is because, again, going back to those triple constraints of being able to monitor your budget, monitor the schedule effectively, that you're not overpaying or you're not displacing money where it doesn't need to be. And also you're holding people accountable for what they said they were going to do. So if Michael told me, hey, I plan on making this deliverable within the week, and a week from today is this particular date, I'm following up with Michael. You know, if you're an exceptional project manager, which we preach here and which we teach here, is that you would want to send 2 to 3 reminders leading up to the date of the actual task that's due, because there's no excuses. I don't leave no room for excuses. Somebody said, well, I didn't even know. I forgot about it. I got so busy. And then you can say, well, I sent you a reminder in email. I sent you a reminder, whether you're using Teams or Google Chat or Slack or any of that, any of those particular platforms. But the point I'm trying to drive home, it's one of those things where you don't give someone an opportunity to find a way out, because they will. They will find an escape plan. It's like, I don't know if you ever seen, family, those escape rooms, and you got to follow these directions to get this key to move on to the next one. They're really fun. You need to check them out. I think I might even do a vlog around that of me going through an escape room or something like that. But again, the whole point I'm trying to make is you try to create every single opportunity for that particular stakeholder to look great. So if it calls, you'll know your stakeholder when you start working with them, when you say, hey, I need you to do this. You said you're going to do such and such, and you just hear crickets, and you check in and you say, hey, how's things coming on this particular task? And they say, oh, everything is going great. There's a problem. You say, well, why is there a problem? Because when someone says everything is going great, again, this is years of experience. You say, well, could you explain to me what is going great about it? So it's just asking a follow-up question, but making sure that you are controlling these efforts, that you're monitoring these efforts, will allow you to have a more successful project. At any time that you lose, take your eyes off of these things once we transition from executing to into monitor controlling, and you're not paying attention to these things, whew, boy. I'm here, I'll be a mentor for you to help you work through it, but I could have saved you some trouble if you watch this video right here all the way through the end. And saving you some trouble is saying, making sure you're holding the people accountable and holding yourself accountable for making sure that you're not going over budget, that you're staying within schedule, that you're delivering on time, or even better yet, if you're delivering before what the end date of the schedule is actually supposed to end. So, family, I challenge you today, as you're listening to this, start thinking through your project. And when you're, when once the project is up, as far as, you know, there's been some execution within the project of the particular item. I mean, all projects are, again, different. So, but once you get into that executing phase and then you transition into the monitor controlling, I'm telling you the areas that you need to focus on, because a lot of times we'll take our eye off of that because we're having success of or seeing that something is being done or being made. So make sure you keep your eye on that schedule. Make sure you're watching your budget and everything, and understand that scope of making sure that they don't start adding on features and benefits that were not supposed to be added on there, or even the customer wasn't even looking for them. So when you're focusing on those triple constraints with regards to making sure you're monitoring and controlling, you will have a much, and I do much mean much more successful project. Now, that doesn't mean it's the end all be all, because you could have a resource issue, you could have a conflict issue, you could have an issue just because an issue came up when you were trying to put this widget together, you could have a risk that you haven't prepared for a particular risk response. So family, again, make sure you do all your due diligence, that you're constantly checking on your project and holding people accountable, including you.